At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
Tucker.
That was sick.
Easy.
That was sick. This might be my last batter, guys.
That was sweet.
Yeah, how hard was that one? 91?
It was an out.
It was an out. All right, I'm going cheese again.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go. I mean, you and Paul Skeens are pretty much the same guy.
Right down the middle. I'm so glad he didn't swing. Okay, I'm going curveball here.
Okay.
Oh, that was short. What do you want? Smoltz, what do you want?
Cutter in. Slider in.
I don't throw a cutter,
Smoltz. He doesn't slider in. Slider. Cutter.
Son of a... I'm
going to make him mad.
That was short.
How about this splitty? Break out the splitty.
All right, what's the count? 2-2? Two, two? Yeah, this two, is two. So weird talking to you guys.
It's kind of weird for us, too. Hey, sit him down.
I think that might be it.
That's it. And Clayton, what a year, buddy. What a career.
Yeah. There you go. Thanks, dude. Sick. Sick. Suck it, big dumper. Suck it, big dumper.
I mean, is there any doubt at all? Is there any doubt at all what is the best All-Star game? It's not even a question. It's not even close. Not even close. We were reminded of that again. Baseball rules. Yep, baseball rules in a lot of ways, including having the best All-Star game. What you just heard was Clayton Kershaw being mic'd up as he was pitching, which was something. And when we were watching it, we're like, this is awesome. This is great. This is the best. And then it just kept getting better. You had one of the maybe the best moments I think I've ever seen in an All-Star game. And that was the Hank Aaron tribute at Truist Field. And let me just tell you, when it comes to game presentation, when it comes to things that you see when you go to a baseball game, Major League Baseball game, there's the Atlanta Braves and everybody else. Their game presentation is next level. And obviously, a big part of this was MLB. But the Hank Aaron tribute was just incredible. It was an absolute spectacle. It was something that you'll never forget. It's sort of along the lines of 1999, in case you remember that, when Ted Williams was brought out into the field and all the All-Stars surrounded him. Same sort of deal. Once again, the Hank Aaron tribute, one of the most memorable moments you're ever going to see in an All-Star game. At least I'm ever going to see in an All-Star game. And then, to top it all off, you have the culmination of the game, which is the swing-off. Instead of going to extra innings, yes, collective bargaining actually led to something good this time around. Instead of doing extra innings, we had a sort of a home run derby type deal. And the National League wins because of the bat of the guy that we're going to have on the podcast right now, and that's Kyle Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber goes deep in all three of his swings, 3-for-3, wins the National League MVP for the game, and punctuates what has been a great and absolute fantastic few days here in Atlanta. I've been so privileged to be part of it, to be witness to it. It really, really, they did a great job. A great job. Congratulations. I mean, we pick apart all these things which are wrong with how MLB does things, game presentation, rules, regulations, whatever it is. I go on rants about, you know, all those years that where the World Series actually meant the home field advantage for the team, and which was the most ludicrous thing I've ever saw. I mean, think about that. Let's take a pause. Think about that. That the World Series home field advantage would have been dictated by who hit the home runs at the end of this game. That was stupid. But it wasn't stupid to do it and just to say, this is how we're going to end this game. This is how we're going to walk off into the sunset, walk into the next level of the baseball season just by having this. This is the jumping off point. This is just the good time. And one of the things also, before we get to Kyle and before we get to the podcast, one of the things that I also noticed, this wasn't an unbelievably star-studded event. You walk into those clubhouses, there are a lot of guys where the average baseball fan, like, really? Really? But what it was, it was an opportunity to see some of these guys that you might not get a chance to see. And also from the player's perspective, it's getting a chance to see these guys interact is pretty cool. It was. All the way to the end with the celebration of Kyle Schwarber. And I should note, Kyle Schwarber, I sit down and talk to him. You're going to hear about the evolution of Kyle Schwarber and going through a contract year. But Kyle Schwarber, right before I talked to him, he was exhausted. He's such a good guy, man. Like, and he took the time to talk to me, and I really appreciate it. But he was like, oh, man, you know, I am so tired. This guy doing the red carpet thing, you know, carrying his kid, the heat, the suit, all of it. He was just exhausted. I said, oh, well, you know, maybe you can be that guy who plays and then leaves on a private jet in the fifth and sixth innings. Thinking, no, you know, I'm coming in later in the game. That's really not an option. And sure enough, what happens? Nobody left. And you know how I know nobody left? Because you see the celebration at the end of the game. And this is also going to dictate that nobody does leave in these games. Nobody hits their private jet in the fifth inning. Because nobody wants to miss what happened at the end of this game. The swing off? Nah, because it was a good time. It was a memorable time. All right, well, speaking of memorable times, it's a memorable time for Kyle Schwarber, not only because he won the National League MVP, but because he's in another contract year and also because he's having a really, really good year. 923 OPS, 30 home runs. I mean, his time in Philadelphia, it's been really, really good. And he's a guy who, when he gets to free agency coming up, listen, he's only right now 32 years old. And as I said, I mean, he's having the best, maybe the best year of his career. But it is a contract year. So what is that dynamic like? There's no better person to ask about it. He went through it, as we said, 4 years ago. And now he's going to be going through it again. We'll see if he re-signs with the Phillies. I don't know. But it's a great, great conversation. And then after Kyle, I continue that line of questioning, that line of conversation with a couple other guys who have gone through it. Pete Alonso of the New York Mets and Robbie Ray of the San Francisco Giants. Two guys who know what's what when it comes to living life in a contract year. I think it's a fun conversation, an interesting conversation, an educational conversation. An insightful conversation, an entertaining conversation, all of it. I'm just so jacked up off of just having witnessed just what we witnessed, and having all these interviews, and having all these talks, and having all these discussions, and using it all just to storm into the next wave of the baseball season. It's nut crunching time. Yep, that's right. After a brief respite for the next couple of days, here we go. But in the meantime, let's soak this in. In the meantime, soak in this interview. Kyle Schwarber, followed by Pete Alonso, followed by Robbie Ray.
There's no human being on the planet I'd rather be talking to right now. And I'm just going to sort of, first of all, excellent job on the red carpet, Kyle.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was hot. It was hot, sweaty, what? Carrying a kid around. It was an experience, but it was fun.
When you're an aspiring young baseball player, like we see the video of Cal Raleigh, it's a little say, "Hey, I'm Kyle Schwarber. I am going to someday walk the red carpet carrying a kid around." It's not probably like on the bingo card, right?
It's not on the bingo card. No, I think the young aspiring players say, "I'm going to be in the Home Run Derby one day. I'm going to be in an All Star game one day." Or you're going to play in a World Series. Not carrying a kid around in 100 feels like 100 degree heat, sweating bullets, but. It was fun. It was a great time. I love having my boys there and my wife, and seeing my boys' faces when they're just walking down, seeing everyone, and seeing how shy then he gets happy and all that stuff. It was great.
The evolution of you, I mean, right?
It is. It really is. It's funny the things that you know, you think back to when you were a younger guy, you look around the room, you see some of these young dudes in here, and you think about, you know, what's going through their minds versus what's going through my mind right now versus I'm like, I probably was thinking some things that they were thinking. Now that you're a dad, though, and, you know, life continues to go on, and that things just don't really matter as much anymore, that, you know, it's more about, you know, your family and obviously trying to do your job to your best ability, but then it's, I just find it's easier to turn the page a little bit easier.
Different landing spots. Let's talk about how you change, all right? Mm-hmm. Chicago, obviously you're a young man. You're still a young man. I mean, it's obvious. But Chicago, like, what is your mind? Like, are you just like, yeah, let's go. Let's play the great game of baseball.
Yeah, you know, when coming up in the Chicago, it was like, came up with a lot of really good players. You know, it was kind of like, it made it a little bit easier coming from like the college scene where it felt like, you know, the double-A team was like a bunch of, you know, guys, grinders, college dudes that were ready to, you know, have fun, play. And then you come up into the big leagues, and we were young too. You know, we had Chris, we had Javi, we had, you know, Addison, all these guys that were younger. But we also had kind of like that veteran core of dudes who were able to kind of keep everything in track and in place, right? And that was the thing that kind of stuck with me. And then, you know, you keep, you know, you're learning, you're playing, you're trying to figure out the big leagues, and, you know, you have a good group of guys around you. But, you know, then you win a World Series, you know, you keep making playoffs, and then all of a sudden you get non-tendered, and then you find yourself up somewhere else. And, you know, all I could really think about was kind of go back to that experience of listening to those guys about this, really caring about winning, and led me to some pretty good places.
Would it be fair, so, like you said, non-tendered, and you sort of, you go to a new team, and then you land in for the couple months in Boston, but not to be cliche, but when you landed there, were you like, okay, now it's my opportunity to draw on the experiences I had in Chicago and all that, you know?
Yeah, you know, I feel like, so being in Washington, it was kind of also, it was the thing, all right, like I want to reestablish myself, right? I knew that the 60 games wasn't the representation of me. And I knew there was a better plan there, but I also needed some good guidance as well on things that I wanted to address. And I luckily got that in Washington, and I got the opportunity to just go out there and play every day, which was needed. And you know, then you get traded to Boston. You find your way on a first-place team at the time. And, you know, you've been in those situations before, and then you're walking into a clubhouse that was such a tight-knit group there. It made it seem like a seamless transition for me. You know, I was kind of going to be eyes wide open, and then felt like it took like 3 days for me to really just get accustomed to them. And, you know, then we were able to just kind of, you know, sit back, relax, and not worry about all the, you know, who's this, who's that, what kind of people there are, versus more about just focusing on trying to win baseball games and, you know, talk about different experiences. And that those are the times that you were able to draw back on in Chicago when you played some high-stress games.
And then, you know, you're going into free agency. Like, that's one thing you probably aren't even – there's a similarity this year, right, where when you're in the middle of something, like, you don't think about contract. You're just thinking about – playing. And I mean, that was the first time you did that. I don't know if you even entered your mind because there was so much stuff going on.
There really wasn't much thought. It was more like, how the heck are we going to get to the World Series? And we were really close. You know, obviously ran into Houston and they went on to win the World Series that year, but you know, felt like we were really close in that series. And then all of a sudden the season's over with, and you're like, okay, you know, you're saying your buys and things like that, then you're like, man, I'm a free agent now, and you don't really think about it, and you're trying to figure out where you're going to be. And, you know, that was a, you know, at that time, that was a place that was really attractive, and, you know, having those relationships with those guys were great. And then the lockout happens, and then all of a sudden you come out, and nothing was really kind of going anywhere there, and then, like, it just happened, like, it was great because it was like, you know, you have your, you know, a list of teams that you feel like that, you know, are going to possibly want your services. And then, but you kind of make the wish list of, okay, like, this is the top ones. And then all of a sudden Philly comes out, and that was like right at the top of the list. And As soon as we got that deal done, I was so excited, and it was just like, it's going to be a great fit. Felt like it, and then getting to that clubhouse and meet those guys and feel like that was a group that we really have a chance to go out and try to do some special things.
The last thing is, how is, so now as you live this life going potentially into free agents, how do you feel different, or do you feel different?
I don't. I just feel like you know, experiencing a quote-unquote true free agency and knowing kind of what happens throughout that time is going to be a little bit more, I think, settling to know kind of the ins and outs of it. But also, too, there's a lot of unknowns. So, hopefully, we'll see what happens here with Philly, and hopefully, if there's something to be struck, there's something to be struck. But if not, then, it's going to be fun. But, I'm more focused this year on trying to win a World Series. And, we got such a good group over there. We're in first place. And we know that there's a lot more.
All right, thank you.
Baseball in us.
Thank you, man. Yeah, appreciate it.
One of my favorite guys to talk to, Kyle Schwarber. All right, well, another guy who knows what's what when it comes to living life and contract years. That's Pete Alonso. We all know what he went through last year. Didn't end up having the best year, although it was really, really good, 34 home runs, 788 OPS, 162 games. And yet, still, we were waiting to see where he was going to sign. Sure enough, he signs back with the Mets. And boy, the Mets, they were the big winners here. Right now, he's a 908 OPS, 21 homers, 280 batting average. He signs this deal, a two-year deal for $54 million. But he has an opt-out after this year. So we'll see. An opt-out, which he's probably going to take, I would imagine. I don't know. I mean, he gets paid $24 million next year. He's getting paid $30 million this year. But again, another great example of a guy going through contract year. Went through it last year, and really, technically, maybe he's going through this year as well. All right, here you go. Here's Pete Alonso.
There's guys who haven't gone through contract years before, and it's a weird world, right?
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give them? Because everyone treats it different. I mean, what advice would you give them?
Oh, just play the game. Focus on playing the game hard every single day and prepare and do your normal work. I mean, I think contract years are business-wise, they're different, but every year's the same to me, because every year I want to be able to play well. That's not because of contracts. I want to play the best year because I'm out there competing, and I want to be the best player I can be to help my team win a championship. So for me, those circumstances will always be the same, and if you just focus on playing well to help the team, things will take care of themselves.
You've seen guys, everyone handles it different. Before you even experienced it, did you see guys, okay, this guy handled it that way, this guy handled this way, or did it just, you just took it as it came?
For me, like, everyone has different experiences, but I've talked to guys in the past, but to be honest, everyone handles it the same. If you just focus on playing the game, play your game, stay within yourself, and not necessarily try and force things. Like, the game will come to you, and you'll be able to capitalize, because if you work hard, stay consistent in the work, like, things will show up in the game.
Last thing is, you've been on good Mets teams, including last year, where you've come out of the All-Star break. How does this one feel compared to other ones? Even, like, how it feels different?
No, I mean, we're on the precipice of something special here. I mean, we're in a really good spot, and we have to, like, stay consistent and stay diligent, because, I mean, the National League, there's a ton of great baseball teams. So, yes, we're obviously happy for sure, but that doesn't necessarily guarantee anything later on in the season. I mean, we're going to be playing some really important games and some baseball coming down the stretch. So we just want to stay on it, stay in the pocket, and keep working hard every day and taking care of the little things.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. For sure.
Another player who has lived the ups and downs multiple times of a contract year is Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray, who's sitting right now with the Giants in the five-year, $115 million deal that takes him all the way through the 2027 season. But it wasn't always that way. He had to go through the contract year life by signing a one-year deal, resurface himself with, yes, a Cy Young, and then boom, he gets the deal. But it's, as he's going to hear, it's not an easy road. It's not an easy thing to experience that for the first time. All right, so I hope everybody has enjoyed this podcast, enjoyed these interviews, conversations, debate, discourse, entertainment, whatever it is. I hope everybody has. At BB isn't boring. At BB isn't boring. We're storming on into the second half. Whatever you want to call it, the second, we'll call it the second half. But with this conversation, with this topic, I thought was a pretty good one. So thank you to Kyle Schwarber. Thank you to Pete Alonso. Thank you to Robbie Ray. And thank you to producer Evan for doing such a great job, like helping me guide me through all the chaos that is the All-Star festivities. All right, here you go. Here's Robbie Ray.
So I'm just talking to guys about the when you get into the second half of a year, winning compared to like looking at your future, whether it's free agency or whatever, it's a weird dynamic. Everybody handles it differently.
Sure.
You having gone through it, what advice would you give guys who, you know, are sort of living that life?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just staying focused and going about your prep work each and every day like you normally would. I think everything, you know, if you stay focused on what you can control, you know, some things you can't control, like free agency and you know, what's going to happen after the year's over. I think what you can't control is what, you know, you do in a clubhouse, what you do out on the field. Those are the things that you can control, and I think everything else kind of falls into place after that.
Is that easier said than done? I mean, every guy treats it different. You've probably seen from a distance, even coming up, guys, oh, he's in a contract here or whatever. Yeah, I mean, is it easier said than done?
Yeah, I think, you know, my first, you know, when in 2020, in spring training, you know, that was my contract year. And going through it that first time, you know, you do have those moments during the season where, you know, things might necessarily be going the way you want them to go. And it's easy to kind of look up and be like, man, you know, am I doing something wrong? Or, like, what can I do to make this right? And I kind of did go through that my first time. Ended up signing a one-year deal back with Toronto. You know, betting on myself and, you know, paying off winning the Cy Young that year. But that year, you know, I had been through it the year prior. So with signing the one-year deal back with Toronto, I kind of understood, like, what I was going to go through again. I had, when those feelings started to creep in, you know, I knew how to handle it. So, you know, it is tough because we're human and, you know, we want to be able to provide for our
families. Winning the Cy Young, though, has probably made it a whole lot easier.
Yeah, for sure. You know, that was a very special year for me. And but yeah, I think it helped that I had gone through it the year prior and had those struggles to be able to, you know, understand what that feeling was going to feel like.
Yeah. It's a cliche. This might be a cliche, but also winning. Like, winning because you're wrapped up in, like, winning, right? You're wrapped up. If you're on a bad team and you're sort of looking to get to the end line, you're, like, thinking, oh, this is my main goal to do well. But winning probably is a good distraction, I guess.
For sure. Yeah, like, when the team's having success and you're winning and, you know, everybody around you is for the team and everybody is, you know, team-oriented, it's a lot easier. For sure.
All right, well, I appreciate it. Thank you.